I am known by different people in different ways. To my children, dead. To Dara, sometimes she calls me Long Long, using my surname. To my mother, she calls me by my Chinese name. To church, sometimes people call me Pastor John, Reverend Long, or simply Rev. Some know me quite well, and some hardly know me at all. So, we heard this morning passage. John was wondering about this person that he heard about. Is he really the Messiah? Who is he? Who is he? So who is Jesus? Well, if I ask you this question, you probably very easily rattle off some textbook answers. Like, Jesus is our Savior, God. He's a legend, or a liar, or a lunatic, or my Lord. Or others, people may see him as demon-possessed, or a babbling blasphemer, or a miracle worker, a good teacher, and a prophet. Many, many titles and names and recognitions. But who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Now every person must answer this question. The crowd cannot answer that for us. You cannot abstain or opt out from answering. You can delay it, you can answer it later, but you cannot hide forever. You will have to answer that question someday. Who is Jesus to you? Now remember the incident in Matthew chapter 16 when he came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciple, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they reply, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus asked them the same question again. What about you? Who do you think I am? And then Simon Peter gave an answer. Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. So who is Jesus to you? Peter can't answer that question for you or on your behalf. But looking at Peter's answer, yes, he got it right. He had the perfect answer. And Jesus recognized that. But never mind who else might have answered the question. The bottom line is that you and I have to answer that question ourselves. Who is Jesus to you? Some may say he's the one upstairs, you know, upstairs, who sometimes fold up their arm and look down at us and say, is he like that? That picture represents someone who doesn't have a relationship with us down here. What about like Santa Claus? That we may never met him, but he's there to bring us what we want. Like a vending machine. Push the button and pop out a wish being fulfilled or something. And it only come at certain times of the year, like Christmas. So who is Jesus to you, my dear brothers and sisters? If we look back in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. I think that's quite powerful, don't you see? A visible image of an invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Colossians just said to us? Now Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, the God, in John chapter 14. What does that statement mean to you? You know what? You could say many, many things about Jesus, about representation of Jesus, of God, and so on, but we can still get it wrong sometimes. For example, is Jesus the representation of God the way a painting represents a person? The way an authorized letter from a king represents the king? You know how it is, we get a kind of special letter from VIPs or something. Is that a representation? Or is that a wax mold? You know, the old days when you have a wax and you stamp something on it. Is that the representation or the ring itself? In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, it says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory. The radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Two things about radiance of glory and the exact representation. Radiance comes from a light. We don't get so much radiance from these indoor lights. But if you go outside today, a beautiful sunny day, you can feel the warmth on your skin. You can feel the sun. That's the radiance. It streamed down to us from the sun. The radiance is coming from that source of the sun that we all know. The radiance of the glory is the glory radiating, just as the sunlight hitting our bodies. So Christ is God representing God. Christ is God representing God. Now the light, using the example of the sun and the light that's on your face, if you go out now, it's arrived there 8 minutes after it left the sun. 8 minutes after it left the sun. So about 8 minutes ago, while I was still preaching here, it left the sun. And the beam come all the way down and landed on my face. Now, if you look at those rays, you can actually sometimes see it if there are particles in the air. But if you put on the right glasses, you can actually look at the sun, be properly protected. It's like a big ball. Or during sunrise or sundown, we can see an image of the sun quite clearly. So, when you've looked at Jesus Christ, you are seeing God. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So, let me bring a few main points together once again. Often, how we respond to God and to others is the critical thing. I ask you a question, you may choose not to answer, but the answer will explain a lot about understanding of the question I put to you, or whatever concept and whatever other things that we may have. So you and I respond to things thousands of times every day. For most of us, it starts with maybe an alarm clock this morning when it went off. We may respond to text messages on our phone calls, emails, and all kinds of conversations. We may respond to heat, to cold, to hunger, and to pain. And you will get to lunch shortly after I'm done. Or the lovely morning tea that Liz and Richard has prepared for us. We respond to humor, to anger, love, respect, and fear. Those are emotional feelings and stuff that we respond to every day. And we respond to victories and setbacks and defeats. This is just to name a few of the responses that you and I face every day. So, how do we respond to these things make a big difference? Chuck Swindoll once said, "I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it." I don't know whether you agree with that statement or not, but I think there's some truth, at least in that. How do we respond to life? How do we respond to things that are happening to us and around us? That is especially true when it comes to Jesus. Jesus asked the question to his disciples. They responded. Jesus asked Peter. Peter responded. And I believe that Jesus will continue to ask you and I questions. And the key thing is, how do we respond to Jesus asking? Nothing, I believe, is more important than how we respond to Jesus. Firstly, we need to respond to his authority over our lives, that he is our Lord. Remember the story in Matthew chapter 8, a Roman soldiers who understood authority say that you don't have to go. You just have to say the word. Because I know I am a soldier. I am a commander. I know if I give the order, things happen. The soldiers, this Gentile Roman soldier, understood authority. And that's why he said, Jesus, you don't have to go. Just say the word. My servant will be good, will be healed. Everything will be fine. Do we understand that authority? Do we understand the authority that Jesus exhibits? So we need to accept the Lord's authority over our lives. That is the first response that we need to have. The second one is that be willing to answer Jesus' question when he puts that question to us. Peter got it right. Peter gave the perfect answer. How about us? When God asks you today, do you trust me? How do you respond to Jesus? When Jesus says, will you follow me? Do we respond to him? And Jesus asked me, do you love me? How do we respond to Jesus? We all understand action speaks louder than word. It's not just having good intentions. Not just something that sounds good or looks good, but has to be good. And that's why in James chapter 1 it says, be doer of the words and not hearer only, deceiving ourselves. Peter got asked three times the question, do you love me? And I believe God may say the same question to us today. He wants to see love in action in our lives. He wants us to respond him to his love for us and his grace and his blessing. How do we respond to him? So these are, I believe, two key points. First, accept his authority. Second, respond authentically, genuinely, when Christ asks us the question. Let me close with a story. Years ago, a man walked a tightrope high in the air with no safety net. A great crowd gathered below to watch. Then he took a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. Then he talked to the crowd. How many here believe I can take a person across inside the wheelbarrow? Everyone raised their hand and said, yeah, of course you can. Then he pointed one of the men who raised the hand and said, you sir, come here and jump in. The man took off running. He believed in his head, but he does not believe in his heart that he could jump in the wheelbarrow and be taken across the tightrope. Don't miss heaven by 18 inches. What do you mean by that? The distance between your head and your heart. 18 inches. We may know God, we may understand God, but it is all about the heart. That's the difference of 18 inches. That's the difference of responding to Jesus. That is the difference of knowing Him intimately and personally. And that requires us to answer the question. So what's the difference between believing Jesus in our head or believing Jesus in our heart?